Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For 3 weeks, we have been exploring some of the foundations of our faith and the importance of those foundations in our daily lives. Pastor Westermeyer teed everything up a number of weeks ago by focusing on the importance of community, of being in fellowship with one another. And then we focused on the importance and significance of Holy Communion, then Holy Baptism, and now today we are going to focus on the Holy Bible, which ties in just beautifully with our gospel reading. Now, I want to clear just a few things up at the start. First and foremost, the Lazarus that Jesus refers to in this parable is not the brother of Mary and Martha, whom he raised from the dead in John's gospel. Lazarus was a very common name, so it would not have been unusual for someone, in this case Jesus, to use that name in his teaching. And I also want to reinforce that this story is not about if you are wealthy, you're going to hell. Okay? All right. But I do want to emphasize that in this story, in this parable, that there are some wonderful, rich nuggets that we can learn from. So I invite you to lean in and listen closely. So the story, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, is one of Jesus' most sobering teachings. It doesn't allow us to look away from the realities of wealth and poverty, of comfort and suffering, of heaven and hell. This parable confronts you and me with the truth that how we live our lives in relation to others has eternal significance. So Jesus tells this story, this parable of an unnamed rich man who dresses in purple and fine linen, feasting every day in luxury. At his gate lies Lazarus, a poor beggar, covered in sores, longing for the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. And here's a key moment in this story. The rich man never even notices him. And when they die, their roles are reversed. Their situations are reversed. Lazarus is carried by the angels to Abraham's side, while the rich man finds himself in torment. But this story is not just about one man's neglect and another man's suffering. It is about you and me, and how God's living word shapes and forms us into who we are in this world. It is about how significant the biblical story is in our lives of faith. The truth that what we do with what God has entrusted to us, how we treat others, and whether or not we live in love and mercy truly matters. Now, there is one significant detail in this story that seems to really stand out. If you notice, the poor man has a name, but the rich man does not. In all of Jesus' parables, Lazarus is the only character who is ever given a name, and that is important. In Greek, the name Lazarus means God has helped us. Here, Lazarus, he has no wealth, no possessions, no societal significance whatsoever. But he has a name. And because he has a name, he has an identity. He has dignity rooted in God's love and care. The rich man, though clothed in the absolute best and finest clothes and surrounded by abundance, is nameless. His life is defined only by what he consumed, by what he kept for himself, not by who he was in relation to God and to others. Now, the scriptures remind us that the significance of our lives is not measured by wealth, status, power, or possessions. It is measured by whether we live in relationship with God and in compassion and love toward our neighbor. To have a name in God's story is far greater than to be known for anything else in this world. Now, Jesus goes on and says that in the afterlife, there is a great chasm fixed between the rich man and Lazarus. That chasm was not created in death. That chasm was created in life. Every day, the rich man stepped over Lazarus at his gate. Every day, the rich man closed his eyes to suffering. Every day, the rich man ignored the opportunity to show grace, love, and mercy. Now, we might think of that chasm in today's terms. We live in a world where the gap between rich and poor is vast and growing. Some have far more food than they could ever eat, while others struggle daily for just enough. Some enjoy comfort and safety, while others live in fear and uncertainty. So, as people of faith, the question for us is this: are we building bridges of compassion, or are we widening the chasm through neglect, apathy, indifference, and self-centeredness? I am reminded of the story of Jester Hairston, an African-American composer, conductor, and actor. He was the grandson of slaves, and he became one of the most important arrangers of African-American spirituals in the 20th century. He understood deeply and profoundly the power of the biblical story to speak into the real suffering and hopes of the oppressed people. One of the songs Hairston arranged is Poor Man Lazarus. We're going to hear that in just a little while from now from our choir. I remember singing this song in college 30-some years ago. It is based on this very parable. The song itself is lively, and yet it is also haunting with its refrain: put your finger in the water, come and cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in the flame. It tells the story from the perspective of Lazarus and the poor, those who have suffered yet cling to God's promises. Hairston once said that when he wrote and arranged spirituals, he tried to put himself back into the place of the enslaved, feeling their pain and also their hope. The biblical story of Lazarus gave them the assurance that their lives mattered to God, even if they didn't matter to those who were seen as more important and more significant. I cannot emphasize enough to each and every one of you that the Bible itself is not just a collection of ancient stories. It is God's living and breathing word shaping how we see ourselves and one another. The Bible gives us a new lens into how we see the world and what our role, what our part is in it. The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once said, "To read the Bible as God's word, one must read it with his heart in his mouth, on tiptoe, with eager expectancy, in conversation with God. To read the Bible thoughtlessly or carelessly or academically or professionally is not to read the Bible as God's word. As one reads it, as a love letter is read, then one reads it as the word of God." That is exactly how this parable must be read. Not as an abstract story, not as a historical curiosity, but as God's word to us. A love letter from God calling us into a different and new way of living. A word that says, "See Lazarus. See the one you would rather not notice. See the neighbor that God has placed before you." So what does this look like in our daily lives? It looks like seeing all of the Lazaruses at our gate. The neighbor who struggles with rent, the refugee family trying to start again, the elderly person who is lonely, the young person who feels lost and invisible. It looks like choosing compassion over convenience, generosity over greed, and love over hate. It looks like shaping our communities so that the chasm does not widen, but bridges are built. It looks like letting Scripture guide our lives, not just words on a page, but a living story that tells us who we are and who God calls us to be. Reading it, as Kierkegaard said, with heart in our mouth, on tiptoe, with eager expectancy. The parable of Lazarus and the rich man is not meant to scare us into despair. It is meant to wake us up, to help us see that our lives have eternal significance, that every choice we make to love or to ignore matters in God's kingdom. Jester Hairston's Poor Man Lazarus reminds us that God's story has always been a story of hope for the poor, of dignity for the forgotten, of reversal for the oppressed. And because of what God has done for you and for me, we have an important and active calling in that beautiful and eternal love story. So may we live as people who not only hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but who let those very words shape our lives so that we too then reflect God's love, compassion, and grace out into the world. Let us pray. God of mercy, you see the poor and the forgotten. You hear the cry of Lazarus at every gate. Open our eyes to see as you see. Open our hearts to love as you love. Teach us to read your word as a love letter with eager expectancy and humble gratitude, that our lives may be shaped by your compassion. Cross every chasm within us, Lord, and make us instruments of your peace, that all may know they are named and loved by you. Let it be so. Amen.